Speaking! Yeah! 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 Unbelievable!
Welcome to the Liverpool Way podcast. My name's Dave Usher, editor at liverpoolway.co.uk. We're recording this just after a crazy 3-3 draw at Brentford. Joining me to discuss it are TLW regulars Paul Natton and Dan Thomas.
Okay then, boys, where do we start with that? Paul, what did you think?
I'm really frustrated, to be honest, Dave. I was right up for that beforehand, before kick-off, after seeing the way all the results had gone. Yeah, really, it's really, really done me head in. Even though we're now top of the league, although bizarrely Brighton can go above us on Monday night, which is just a mad one.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's done me head in loads. I just thought, I mean, taking nothing away from Brentford, I thought they played really well. The crowd were right behind them. You know, the evening kickoff on the Saturday, they're at home up against us in the Premier League for the first time since, I don't know, what was it, 1947 or something bizarre?
Yeah, I think it was.
And fair play to them. I thought they played well. I thought they all knew what they were doing. They were physical. But there was also a little bit of nous and guile about them. I thought some nice little touches, particularly in the first goal. But I still think we should have had too much for them. And I've seen some criticism of our defending. And there were moments in the game where we didn't defend that well. But I didn't think particularly for any of the goals. The thing that really done me head in was our finishing. We just didn't take the chances. I felt we should have had possibly 7 and definitely 5.
This way we're going to end up disagreeing, because although, you know, I take your point, we did miss chances, at the same time we've scored 3 away from home. It should be enough. And I know you can get like freak goals and things can go wrong, but this was more than that. This was like the bad old days when we'd have those games when it was like 4-4 and the 5-4 win at Norwich, you know, just crazy games, which you do get them. You know, you'll maybe get 1 or 2 a season where you just get these crazy games, and I feel like this was one of them. But I thought that we defended badly, and I'm not pointing at individuals or specifically saying, oh, it's like it's the centre-backs or it's this, it's that. It was bread and butter stuff that they were doing. I know you're saying about how well Brentford played, and to a degree, yeah, you know, they've had a go, and, you know, the front two are a handful. I really like Ivan Toney. I think he's quality, but it was all just like long balls and crosses to the back post, which is stuff that we should be able to deal with. Like, we come up against that all the time, and we just didn't deal with it today for whatever reason. And like I say, I think it's just one of those mad games that you get in a season, but it was awful, because I know they've scored 3 goals, but I never felt like when those goals were going in, I didn't think, oh, that's against the run of play, or I didn't see that coming. I felt like they had goals in them all day. There was just something about us today. We just looked vulnerable, and I don't know what it is, or I can't pinpoint it and say it was because of this player or that player. It was just a general feeling right across the team that whenever they were putting balls in the box and, you know, long balls, they were getting through from like a long ball on a flick on. They got through twice like that, where it was just a big ball up the middle, and that's not us. That's not
Let me clarify then, Dave. Okay, I mean, yeah, the defending wasn't the best that you'll see from Liverpool. But if it is one of those games, we take our chances, then we're home and dry. You know what I mean? And some of those chances we should have finished. I mean, that one where Mo was through and he took an extra touch, just dink it over the top. Take it first time. And we hit the woodwork. And I just think, and Sadio, my God, looks like he's fallen off a cliff. And I thought, okay. You know, I'm not going to argue the toss over the fact that our defending wasn't great. But for me, the decisive factor in the game was much more the poor finishing than the defending, given the context. But I mean, in some senses, it doesn't really matter. It's 3-3. We've got a point, and I'm pissed off, even though we're top.
Dan, where do you stand on it? Forwards or defence?
I think it's a mixture of both. I'm more with you.
Oh, you're sitting on the fence.
No. I'm more with you, Dave, that I don't like the way we defended. I really thought we were very poor. We started the game off quite well, I thought. First 10 minutes or so looked like it was going to be a long day for Brentford, but they had a couple of quick chances, a Toney header and someone blazed over. And I didn't think that we recovered from that. We looked vulnerable pretty much every time they went forward. You know, like when you score 3 goals away from home as well, you know, that should be more than enough. But I do completely take Paul's point that we had four gilt-edged chances. I mean, Raya's made an absolutely superb save from Jota, but Jota should score that, and nine times out of ten he will, although with his miss against Crystal Palace last week, maybe those stats need to be a bit lower. And Salah, he missed two golden chances, and it's difficult to point fingers at Salah because it's Mo Salah, you know, he doesn't know us anything. But the one early on, he went through, and I know we've had a disagreement over this, Paul. I thought his touch was poor. He brought Raya into the situation when he should have just opened up his body and curled it bottom corner. Instead, he poked it towards the goal, and it still should have gone in, really. It was a very good clearance, to give the lad his credit. And then, you know, like the one that Paul's already mentioned, when he clipped it onto the roof of the net, for me, again, that was the earth to be hit first time. Low, bottom corner, open up your body, game over. But would it have been game over at 4-2? You don't know with the way that the match played out. So, yeah, I do agree with Paul that it's kind of like prolific finishing has contributed to the result. But for me, all three goals, yes, they had elements of luck about them. The first one was a good move. I think Fabinho should probably put his body on the line a little bit more and slide in and kind of knock that behind. For my money, I think the Brentford player probably caught him a bit short, but he wanted it more, I thought. And the second and third goals were just scruffy knockdowns that didn't go our way, but they didn't deserve to go our way because we didn't defend the initial situations well. And it felt to me like we had a team of Glenn Johnson's playing because no one was making any effort to stop the ball coming into the box. And
that's definitely true. That's definitely true. The lack of impact on stopping the cross really did do me. I did a number of times where there's no one within yards of it, and the ball's coming in time after time. Yeah, bizarre.
It's a unit, Paul. I thought it was as you've rightly said, individuals. No, I can't point my finger at any individuals, but as a unit, I thought we defended pretty poorly, and it's frustrating because we created enough chances to win probably three games. And we've thrown out a defensive display like that, and it's just as you've mentioned, Dave, the Liverpool of old, you know, like that is like drawing 0-0 at home with West Ham when Man United are in Japan. It's not that significant, and come the end of the season, I'll be very surprised if this result is the one that we were sighing about that's cost us this, that, or the other. But it's just deeply frustrating because give Brentford the due, as everyone has already done. They did play well. They wanted it. They were up for it. Late kickoff under the floodlights, but it's a poor result, and I do kind of, it does have a feeling of shit in the bed a little bit, given the fact that we could have gone 4 points clear at the top, and now it's one, and hey, I'd take that after six games any day of the week. But we play Man City next week, and if we beat them, we could have gone from 4 to 7 clear of City. It's just, it feels a little, well, it's not a little bit disappointing, it's extremely disappointing.
We didn't get a grip of the game. I really wanted in the second half. We went to 4-2-3-1. I think that was when we were 3-2 up, I think. Went to 4-2-3-1.
And
we had
about just after
that. That's right. Yeah, absolutely. And it seemed to settle down for 5 minutes, even though I thought it was a strange decision to leave Jota on, or to leave Mane on rather than Jota. Yeah. I thought, okay, Klopp's seen something. He often makes these tactical tweaks because he's seen something in the game. And for 5 minutes, it did seem to work until it didn't. And then for me, it was just screaming out for Milner. You just need somebody with that composure and that mentality to get a grip of the game and just control it. And we didn't. It was decision-making for me, really, more than anything else. It was just about understanding what we needed to do in the moment. I never got a sense that they were panicking particularly, but just that they didn't get tight hold of the game, which is what you'd expect this Liverpool team to do. And that's why I'm so angry, really, is the missed chances and the fact that we just didn't get a grip of it. Regardless of what they're doing, we should be able to deal with Brentford. I don't care whether that sounds like football snobbery or what. We're Liverpool. We should absolutely have been able to deal with Brentford.
Yeah, I definitely. But it comes down to what I was saying. The disappointing thing for me is it's not like Brentford did anything particularly out the ordinary or special or anything to catch us by surprise. It was long balls all game, and the forwards, the front two did really well, don't get me wrong. I'm a big fan of Ivan Toney, and the lad next to him was good as well, you know, they just flick-ons and chasing in behind, but that should not be causing problems to Van Dijk and Matip. You know, it just shouldn't. Matip's got like one of the best records for winning headers, even better than Virgil, I think. And Tony was winning a lot against him today. And even the ones when Matip was winning it, he never looked comfortable with it. So that's a bit of a concern. Just that there was one where like it was a straight ball up the middle from the keeper. We were attacking. The keeper ran out to clear it. Launched it up the field. Tony wins the header. And the other lad, Mbwena, is it? Or I can't remember his name. It's Brian something he's called anyway. But yeah, he goes clean through. And you're thinking, that bread and butter stuff, that shouldn't happen. That was the stuff that happened before we signed Virgil. You know, they were the kind of chances that we were giving away before Virgil came in. And I'm not even directly saying that it was Virgil's fault. I don't know who was to blame for it. But they were getting chances that we don't normally give away, those kind of chances. And that's when I said about the bad old days. That's what I was referring to. It was like those crazy 3-all, 4-all, 5-4 type games. I wasn't talking about what Dan referenced when he said about the chance to go top and, you know, we're drawing 0-0 at West Ham. That's not the bad old days I was talking about. Although I can see Dan's point there as well, because we've just extended our lead at the top and we're all pissed off. So it's like, it's context, isn't it? But it should be more. We should be an extra 2 points clear. But we don't deserve to be.
You see, the thing for me, the reason I'm more concerned about the finishing than the defending is because we're seeing the profligacy in front of goal much more often than we're seeing defensive blips.
Yeah, you know, that's fair.
Before the season started, that's what I was saying about, you know, I think we're good enough to win the league, but I think we could just do with more goals and particularly someone clinical. That was always my issue, really. It was, we need somebody clinical. I think I talked about a Suarez type, or even take Suarez himself at this stage. That's what we lack. That's what we lack. We need somebody who, you know, half a chance and it's a goal. When you've got Sadio not scoring.
I mean, as a general point, that's fair, and I'm totally with you. I've been saying the same thing myself. I just think a day when we've scored 3 goals away from home's not really the time to be making that point. That's my view on it.
But for me, it is when there's 4 really good other chances.
I know, but you're not going to score every chance. It's unrealistic to expect that you're going to score them all. Taking them in
hitting
isolation,
one on one with the keeper.
I know you can look at it and in isolation you think that's got to be a goal, you know, you've got to score, but the fact is you don't score every chance. That's just the way it is. But we have scored 3 today, so I'm pointing the finger elsewhere. But as a general point, yeah, I don't think we're clinical enough. I just don't think that today is a day where that's the main focus for me.
Defensively though, I've been thinking about this for the last hour or so. I can't think of a worse performance defensively where we've looked so ragged since Virgil came to the club. The only other one I can think of is when James Milner played right back against Crystal Palace and we won the game 4-3 but got run absolutely ragged. I can't think of anything else that's been close to that. It was carnage. It was a mess.
If we're disregarding last season, there was obviously the Aston Villa one, but
yeah,
I think all of us feel as though last year's games just shouldn't count.
Yeah,
they need to be disregarded.
I'm completely on board with that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm really struggling to think of a time where we've been, because it was carnage. It was like Brentford players fell over each other and still managed to get to the ball first for the third goal. It's just the word frustration being used, and yeah, I'm completely on board with that. It's very frustrating that we've scored 3 chances, and as Paul said right at the top, we should have scored 5 and could have scored 7, and you know, like, it would have been let's just say we win that game 5-3, we're probably feeling very different, but I would be complaining about the defending because I would complain whether we won, lost or drew. As it turns out, I'm complaining about a draw.
All I would say as well, though, as disappointed as we all are about that, I'm not going to go down the whole blessing in disguise route, but I do think that maybe it'll give us a bit of a kick up the arse, and hopefully that's not going to happen for a while. You know, I think we'll be more solid at the back, because we've been really solid all season. I know every game we've had, the other team have had like a chance or two, but that's normal. You're not going through a game without giving up chances. But today was just like, you know, that wasn't us.
See, now, I disagree with you there, Dev. I think there's been spells in games this season where we've looked really vulnerable. Like Crystal Palace for the first 5 minutes last week, they could have scored twice. They hit the post twice in the first 5 minutes, and it looked
flappy and
chaotic.
Yeah, but Dan, show me a team who doesn't.
Oh no, of course,
yeah. Show me a team that doesn't have it. It's normal. That's what I'm saying. It's completely normal.
What I'm getting at though is that this season, I felt there's going to be a game where we concede 2 or 3 in one game, because we don't do it very often. But I felt like there's been a couple of games where I thought we look a bit ropey here. But what I will say, and I completely agree with you, we will not defend like this next week against Man City. No way. We'll be up for that game, and then you know it'll be us with a later kickoff and us like getting up for it. And I don't think we'll play like that against Man City at all next week. I think we'll be perfectly fine in that game.
Plus, it's a completely different game anyway. With that, Man City are not going to be overloading the back post and hitting loads of high balls in. So it's a different test that we're going to be coming up against. But yeah, obviously, the crowd behind us, and it's a game everyone's going to be up for. So yeah, I don't see us defending like that next week. But the 2 points lost, I don't know. It's yes and no, because Chelsea lost today. So we've made up a point on Chelsea, even though we've lost 2 points to City. It swings and roundabouts. But it's because it's the shock, really, because I maybe it's shouldn't be looking at it like this, but I already had this down as 3 points. I looked at the results today and I thought, yeah, great.
Absolutely, yeah.
Tonight. And, you know, you can't overlook anybody, you know, whether it's Brentford or Everton or Palace or whoever. You can't. You know, whoever it is, they're going to cause you problems if you're not at it. And that it shows how good we've been, to be fair, that these games are so few and far between, because we've had such a level of consistency over the last few years. But if you're not quite there, you are going to have problems, because it's a tough league. Even the teams at the bottom can give you problems, and we've seen that today. Not that Brentford are at the bottom, they're comfortably mid-table at the moment, but you know, they're a newly promoted team, so I think that's the point that I'm making, really. You can't overlook anybody, and I don't know, I'm not saying the players have done that, because it would be very unlike them if they did. But there was just something not right about us today, I thought, you know.
Do you know maybe the biggest concern for me about the whole game was the fact that we were unable to respond on the pitch to what was happening repeatedly. So you talked about the overload at the back post on Trent, Dave, and we could see that throughout the game, and yet the players didn't really know what to do differently.
No. Virgil was doing a lot of shouting and pointing at people, but it didn't make any difference. It's not like
It always felt like there were gaps in midfield there, but I couldn't tell you who should have been there and wasn't there. You know what I mean? The whole thing was so bewildering compared to what we normally see, that you don't get those. The way we were opening up in front of the defence, those balls being played through, and then also the balls coming across, as you said, for the overload at the back post, just repeatedly happening and players not responding. And I always feel that when we go in at half time with some question marks over the way we played, or more likely actually that the way the opposition have played, that they've got at us more than we expect them to. The coaching staff always have some sort of solution. They've always done in-game analysis. They've spot something that they want us to do differently, and they make tweaks and adjustments. And sometimes they're not even clear in the game until Klopp will mention it afterwards, and he'll say, "Oh, Fab did this," or "We shut that down." And then you go, "Oh yeah, that makes sense now." I found really strange today is that there was none of that. And again, that's why, coming back to the point I was making about Milner, I think, is probably the one player who can read the flow of a game and get a grip of it. He understands where the gaps are and can fill them, particularly when he's in combination with someone like Fabinho. So maybe Thiago could have done the same as well, actually, to be fair. Thiago, I think, is also capable of it. But he wasn't there. So that's why I really wanted Milner. It was that inability to respond. So, because, you know, defensively, it is one of those days. They can happen, as you've said. But it was the fact that we were allowing those situations to keep reoccurring that was frustrating, rather than the actual defending in the moment. So I thought, you know, for the second and the third goal, there was big slices of luck in both of them. What was frustrating is that they got into that situation in the first place. I thought for the first goal, I just thought it was a great goal. I thought it was really ingenious little free kick. Great ball across, lovely flick on by Tony. And then maybe you could argue Dan's point about Fabinho, but I just thought they were bewildered by the way the free kick had been taken. It was an unusual free kick, really well taken. So for me, it's not so much the defending in the moments of the goals. It's the fact that we kept allowing those situations to reoccur and no one responded in the game.
Yeah, that's fair.
It was a quick moving situation, that set piece. So I can kind of understand why Fabinho might be caught on his heels. It just doesn't look appealing when the ball goes across the box with like three touches from them and then ends up in the net. But yeah, it was, I completely agree, Paul. It was a very clever set piece. And we had a phase a couple of years ago where we kept getting caught up by little set pieces like that, but it's not happened for a while. It was it was very inventive.
So let's look at some positives then. I thought Curtis showed quite a lot today. His shooting could have been a little bit better prior to the goal, but he looked really comfortable, composed, just bright and lively. I thought he was he took his chance well, because Thiago's out, Keita was injured. Whether Keita would have got picked ahead of him, I don't know. I'd like to think not. I'd like to think he'll never be picked ahead of Curtis again, but you know, we've seen it time and time again where Keita gets picked and you're thinking, what's he ever done to justify being picked ahead of Curtis Jones? It's like, it baffles me. But anyway, I thought Curtis was good. His goal was a little bit fortunate in terms of, I think the deflection just took it above the keeper's outstretched hand, but it was a great strike anyway.
Yeah, it was.
So I'd like to see him get a little run of games now, because Harvey was getting a run of games, even though we had experienced players available. So, you know, Klopp's obviously prepared to do that. I'd like to see Curtis get a few games now, just to see
definitely
if he can cement a place.
Do you know, for the goal, I mean, that daft little nickname I have for him, Coutinho, which I came up with, it, I don't think he really deserves it in terms of the quality of his play or his impact on games, but it's just that I think in that position, you know, that one that Coutinho played,
yeah,
sort of inside left, he can be brilliant in that position, I think. And that's where he got the goal from today. And I'd like to see him popping up there more and more. I felt last season before, I've lost track now, really, because last season sort of all sort of melted into one. Possibly bits of the season before, he was very, very circumspect in his football, very, very disciplined, would just do what Genie used to do, really, which is to just follow instructions to the letter from Klopp and never really take any risks. And I actually think he can give us much more than that. His first touch is superb. His awareness is good. He shields the ball really well. And I think he can get into those positions and work a bit of space, and he can get goals like the one he got today, albeit it was deflection today. But I think he's got that in his locker, you know, that goal from range. And that is something that we lack.
He's a 10-goal-a-season midfield player if he's playing
every week. Yeah, I agree.
Week.
I think he is. Yeah,
now,
I agree.
You can argue that he's maybe not going to be doing enough other things to justify being in the team every week. But what I'm saying is, if he was in the team every week, he's a 10-goal-a-season midfielder. No doubt about that for me. But, you know, we've obviously got a lot of competition. If Thiago's fit, Thiago's going to play. But I think that Curtis now has got to be ahead of Keita, and he's got to be ahead of Ox. So,
definitely.
And it's him or Milner. If one of your first choice three is not playing, it's Curtis or Milner. And that depends on the game and the situation that you're in, really, I suppose.
Because he's looked really sharp since he came into the team. He missed the early part of the season because he was recovering from injury, wasn't he? So he's a little bit behind everyone else, which is why he might have come off when he scored today. But I've been impressed with him whenever he's played. He came on against AC Milan when the game was a bit chaotic at 3-2, and he held the ball up really well and looked to get into good positions, and he was positive and he was direct. So I'm really pleased to see him getting more extended time on the field. And you know, like with Harvey Elliott having such an impact, it's a big chance for Curtis to kind of step up and fit in for that role for himself and make that his own role, as opposed to Keita and Ox, who I know not many people will disagree that their impact is limited.
Yeah. What about Jota? What did you think of him today?
I think he's scoring the goals, but I don't think his all-round performances have been too great to date. I think today was probably one of his more industrious performances. I was quite happy with how he played. And again, you know, he does the most important thing, which is stick the ball in the net. Probably disappointed that he didn't score more than one. It is a fantastic save from Raya, but he should score. It's as simple as that. And you know, his all-round play still needs a bit of work. I think Brownie always mentions his pressing, which it does stand out that it's not as effective as everyone else. But I was quite happy with how he played. I don't think he was a hindrance at all. And he's always in and around, sniffing around chances when they come, where the little half chances, because he takes up such good positions, never stops moving. Obviously, getting to see him play in the flesh this season, you know, you appreciate just how much he never stopped moving. So, yeah, today I think it was one of his better performances of the season. I don't think, despite the fact that he's up there for our top scorer with Moa, I don't think he's had too good a season so far, to be honest.
Paul?
Nothing much to add to that, really. I think Dan's pretty much covered it. Decent game today. Thought he took his goal well. He's clearly a valuable member of the squad and the team. He deserves to be in the team at the moment. I think for me, I think there's more to say about the other two. Mo for positives in general in terms of the season and also his Liverpool career, getting his 100th goal today. And Sadio for just the concern about, you know, his ongoing form. Look, should we do positives first? Because I think despite Mo's misses, I thought he had moments in the game where he was absolutely sensational, and I think he's looked really, really sharp this season. Maybe even sharper than he was in that first season when he got, 44 goals all season.
I agree, Paul.
I think his all-round game's been much better than it was
sensational.
In his first season. His all-round game's just brilliant at the moment. Yeah.
First touch, balance, strength, use of the ball, pass it. I think this is the best service of other players I think I've ever seen from him. He hasn't lost any pace, even though he's coming on to 30. And 100 goals in, what was it? Is it 151 games? Is that right? He's got 100 goals for us.
It was around 150-ish, yeah.
Yeah, just absolutely incredible. And it just seems like he's still underrated. I mean, I suppose it does come down to the fact that he does waste a few chances, doesn't he? Which is a bit mind-boggling, really, when you think about how many he takes. I think we're so lucky to have him. He absolutely deserves another contract. Although, do you know what? A horrible thought entered my head today around that contract. I wonder if the club are, because I think the club would do this, I think they're thinking about he goes and they sign someone big to replace him. And you know how much I want, Mbappe. But for me, it's a no-brainer. I don't want him at the expense of Mo, regardless of the sense of signing a 22-year-old for a 30-year-old. Mo is just absolutely sensational. He's a club legend and he should be here for the next few years. I think he can play on and on. I think he's going to continue scoring for years to come. He doesn't show any signs of missing games or of his form dipping. But it has started to worry me a little bit now that the club are just hedging the bets a little bit around the contract, thinking that they move him on as part of a deal to bring in a younger model.
Quite possibly, yeah. When really,
which is a worry.
The one that should be sweating for his place at the moment is Sadio, because...
Oh, absolutely.
It's just... every week I'm expecting him to click into gear. And he's had moments, he's had little flashes where you think, yeah, Sadio will be all right. But then you look at him like, I just looked at him today and it was like, oh, what's he doing? He's just...
He was anonymous, wasn't he?
Yeah. I mean, the first half, to be fair, I thought that like they were messing about with the positions a bit too much, and it looked like he was playing through the middle quite a lot. And because I just kept thinking, why is he not over with Robbo? Because that's when he seems to be at his best, is when him and Robbo were working those little 1-2s and just causing havoc down that side. And the more he drifts into the middle, the less effective he is. But he's been doing that more and more over like the last year or so. And I don't know if that's just tactical instructions or if it's something that he's just taken on himself to do. I don't know, but I don't like him through the middle. I want him out there linking up with Robbo.
Playing lazy balls as well, and also poor first touches.
When he gets his first touch right, I mean, that one when like, he brought the ball down, and all he's got to do is cut it back to Jota, and he just hammered it at him like waist high. And I said, what's Jota supposed to do with that? You know, and Jota was looking at him as if to say, what the fuck was that, Sadio? You know, you could see him. He looks at Sadio as he miscontrols the ball. He's like looking at him as to say, what am I supposed to do with that? And then I think Curtis blasted over the bar, doesn't he? Comes running in and blasted over the bar. And then you see Jota looking at him again as if to say, like, you know, what the hell was that? But that's just happening like too often. And this is probably being like really harsh, but the one when he latched on the rebound, he was never scoring from that angle. And it just needed a bit of composure. Just take a touch and then roll it back for someone to run onto. And instead, he's just snatched at it and tried to score like he did last week. But last week, it was a much more favourable angle and it was on his right foot. This is like, you know, he maybe scored that 1 out of 100 times. It's just little things like that where you think, oh, what's he doing? It's not what you'd expect from him. But, you know, this like run of form's been going on a little bit too long now, to the point where it is a concern. Whereas last year, I just put it down to the fact that there was no fans in the stadium, and he couldn't get out of the slump that he was in. And I just thought, well, you know, when the fans are back singing his name and the atmosphere and everything, it'll get him going again. And it's not really, not yet. But, you know, hopefully he can, you know, he can just click back into form. Like next week would be an ideal time to start. But that brings me on to something I was going to ask you is, when we were talking about Jota, just start him next week against City?
100% yes.
Yeah, agreed. Me too.
Because he was left out against Chelsea. And I said, like, in the preview pod for that, I'd be bringing Bobby back in just because it's like the tried and trusted front three and it's a big game. And it didn't work. And I thought, we probably should have just played Jota. So
no, I'd be bringing Bobby in for Manning. I'd be playing Bobby in the middle and Salah and Jota inside of him. Yeah. But I just think Sadio doesn't deserve his place at the moment. And I really hate being on his case like that. You know, he's been such a great player for us. It's actually given me a little bit.
That's the thing. We all love him. He's like, you know, I don't think anybody doesn't love him. But and that's what makes it so hard watching him like this.
The reason...
No, I'd definitely play Jota next week.
Well, the reason I would play Jota next week is because I just think City are quite weak defensively at times. Whenever you put City under pressure for like 4 or 5 minutes, like John Stones will do something ridiculous or the goalkeeper will drop something, and Jota is one of those people who is sniffing around these half chances, these follow-ins, these little bobbles. He's very good at bobbling the ball into his own path. So that's the reason I would play him against City, because I think City can give you some kind of loose change defensively. But Mane is a concern. Can we not tell him that we're playing Crystal Palace next week instead of City?
Yeah. Get a hypnotist then or something. You know, because when I was asking the question, I was generally just meaning Jota or Firmino. I didn't even have it in my head about like leaving Sadio out. But I mean, when you make that point, it is hard to disagree with it. But I do think that'll be like a really big call to leave him out against City, because you know we've played well against City and Sadio's been a big part of that, especially at Anfield. He's made a big contribution to it, so leaving him out's a big call. But if it did come to that, I don't think he could have any complaints at all if he was left out.
None whatsoever.
And then maybe he comes off the bench absolutely chomping at the bit. He'll be fuming if he's left out. And then maybe if we need him off the bench, he comes on and makes some impact. But I just think we can't be in a position anymore where players who are not in form continue to keep their place. Doesn't matter who they are. Yeah. You know, if he's not delivering when he gets a chance, well, next, someone else is going to come in. That's the way it's got to be. The quality in this league now and the quality of our team, that's the way it has to be. Klopp's got to be ruthless.
No, that's fair.
I think that's something that's been used to criticise Jürgen in the past, hasn't it? That he was a bit too loyal to his great Dortmund team. He didn't kind of make the changes that he needed to in time. So it'd be interesting to see if he's learned that lesson.
Yeah, I wouldn't say he really had the opportunity there, though, did he, Dan? He didn't have the same resources
that's very fair.
The same chances to do anything different. But this is really, I think I said it on one of the pods earlier in the season, maybe the first one, this is the first time I think he's really had so many options and the ability to do something with them.
Yeah. As for him being, you know, overly loyal to players, yes and no, because we don't know how much of this he was involved in, but they let Genie go. Now, I'd like to think that if Klopp was like adamant that he wanted to keep him, they would have found a way to do that deal. So, you know, maybe he was, I'm not saying he was happy for him to leave, but he's obviously accepted it, because when we're in a similar situation with Henderson and his contract, that got done, and all accounts are suggesting like that Klopp intervened there and said, no, that deal's getting done no matter what. So, and you know, whether that's caused the problem with Edwards or not, who knows, because it was around that time when the stories then come out about Edwards leaving. But that's by the by anyway. Right, so we've got Porto on Tuesday. What are you thinking in terms of team selection there? Did it make many changes? Because we've got City the following week. We've already got 3 points in the bag in the Champions League. So is that a game that we can afford to maybe not take that seriously?
I think, well, you don't ever want to lose a game in the Champions League, do you? But I think we've shown that win your home games, you can, in the group stages, you can drop some points away from home. Not that we should be going into the game expecting to drop points, but I would certainly expect Klopp to rotate on Tuesday night, because I think it's City's Sunday, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we've got you know, 5 days between the games. But even so, I think he'll want us to be absolutely razor sharp going into that game at Anfield. He'll want us to really fly at City. I think it is now a huge game, given the composition of the league table. So, yeah, I would expect some changes on Tuesday night. Exactly how many is hard to say, really. I would have thought he might make at least one change at centre-half. Possibility of Tsimikas coming back in. What are the options in midfield now, though? They sort of seem to be fading fast a little bit, don't they? I don't think he'll make three changes, but I certainly think he'll make a couple, I would have thought.
Yeah. I think Trent will probably start, but I think Robbo might get a rest. I think Virgil might get a rest. Possibly Mo as well, because Mo has played more or less every game.
Yeah,
with
true.
City coming up. And if Mo gets left out, he'll be fuming. But I do think if you're going to leave him out, this is a game to do it, really. I'm not saying that I'm not taking it seriously and I'm throwing the game, but if we get a point there, that's fine. You know, win our home games and we should go through. But with City coming up, I wouldn't be taking any chances with the main players. I think I'd leave quite a few of them out.
I'm going to play devil's advocate here and say that I would put out a pretty strong team on Tuesday night for two reasons. Number one, get that complete shit show out of your system defensively. Get that shit show out of your system. And number two, I'm completely sick of going into game five or game six in the Champions League. It's sweating. Yeah. Let's get qualified as soon as we can. We've got Atletico Madrid doubleheader coming up after Porto. So I would say try and get as many points on the board as soon as we can and do the rotation in November and December if possible. It might not be, and it's not an easy group. Porto are certainly the weakest team in the group on paper anyway. So let's try and swat them aside if we can. Let's get out of there with 3 points would be my goal. Obviously, that's the goal for everybody, but I wouldn't be looking to rotate too much because there's an international break coming up as well.
What would you do up front, Dan? Would you get some miles on Bobby's legs or go with the front three from tonight drop Sadio? Or how would you go with it?
Well, Bobby is behind everyone with his effectively because we're so early in the season. Like pre-season, he had a good pre-season, but then he's got injured early on, hasn't he? So for my money, I would say that's a great shout, Paul. Yeah, get some miles on his clock and help him build his fitness back up and his sharpness. So yeah, I mean, again, you know, how many times are we going to let Sadio try and play out of his system? You both rightly say he will hit the roof if he's dropped because he's just that kind of player, but at the same time, you know, up against Porto, who are a good team but they're not a great team by any means, you know, like could he rack up a couple of goals against them but get his confidence up for Sunday? Possibly. Is Salah now our leading European scorer, if I remember rightly?
I don't know.
Isn't he joint with Gerrard or around that same level?
He's up there. I can't remember whether he went past it or not last season, but I know he's up there. You know, like he'll be looking to rack up more goals, and he doesn't like missing games. And I'm touching my head furiously. He's quite durable, so there's an argument to keep him in the team. But whatever we do, you know, like as long as we don't do an FC Midgetland from last season and play like first team players in a pointless game, you know, we don't want to be doing that. So it's a tough call. You're both right with what you're saying there. It's a tough one. But for me, I'd like to see us kind of stretch our legs a bit and try and make a big move towards qualifying as soon as we can from that group.
You know, on reflection, with it being Tuesday, Sunday, I think you're right. I don't think he will make too many changes. If it was Wednesday night, I think there would be a strong case for leaving a few players out. But the Tuesday-Sunday thing, historically, he's not made too many changes because he always says that's not a problem, doesn't he? It's like Wednesday, Saturday's a problem. Tuesday, Sunday, he tends to not make as many changes. So we might not see that many. But just because Virgil didn't play against AC Milan and Klopp kind of said doctor's orders, didn't he really? He said, you know, we've just got to be sensible because he's just come back. We don't want to play him twice a week when it's not necessary. So I don't know. It's the Tuesday-Sunday thing does come into play. And maybe Virgil sits out. I don't know. But I do think he's going to go pretty strong.
When's the City game?
Don't they usually play the same night as us?
Yeah, they're playing the exact same kickoff times as us this week, Tuesday, Sunday.
Oh, right. So there's no advantage there then?
No.
No. I think that's totally overplayed anyway. They always talk about the advantage of the extra 24 hours. I don't even think it really comes into it, to be fair.
I don't know. It seems to get into Guardiola's head. He seems to want to mention those things all the time.
Oh, yeah, but what doesn't, though? He's just like definitely the most miserable, successful man on the planet. Yeah. He's always got something to moan about, regardless of how well things are going. He's just looking to pick fights all the time and complain about one thing or another.
And Solskjaer is the most miserable, unsuccessful man on the planet.
No, that's David Moyes. Definitely, no, David Moyes
is back. The Moyes is back.
He's got
are you calling him successful now just because he's won a cup game at Old Trafford?
He's turned the page now.
Yeah,
but you don't have to win to be a winner. Don't forget.
Less cardigans, more tracksuits. There's a spring in David Moyes' step these days. And to be fair, you know what? We're laughing. West Ham are a very good team and they play some good football. But balls for David Moyes.
Yeah, it'll be a cold day in hell before I'm giving Moyes any credit.
That sounds like a good place to finish to me.
Yeah. Right, so we'll be back in midweek anyway after the Porto game. Hopefully we can put this behind us. Nice clean sheet in midweek would be good, but it's next week's the big one really, isn't it? City on Sunday.
Definitely.
All right, boys, thanks for that, and I'll speak to you both soon.
Remember, you can subscribe to the Liverpool Way podcast on all the main platforms. We're on Apple, Google, Podbean, Spotify and Apple Music, so just search for the Liverpool Way and you'll find us. You can also head to liverpoolway.co.uk and grab a TLW season ticket from just £2 a month, and that'll get you access to exclusive match reports from every Liverpool game, the weekly diary feature and the weekly Premier League roundups, as well as access to the members-only forum. You can also follow us at The Liverpool Way on Twitter and on Instagram at The Liverpool Way TLW.
Well, the best word I can say, but we'll describe this, was boom. Ooh, what was this? It was really good.